As I said, the boys and girls have been learning the Ten Commandments over the past session. And really what I want to do this morning for just a few minutes is to draw all together, if you like. To bring it together so that we can all see the relevance of the Ten Commandments and how the Lord looked upon them. When we look at this bit of the Gospels, we see something happening. Jesus has been debating, he's been discussing things, and even arguing with the religious leaders of the day. They've got this idea in their head that because they're Jews, because they have their Bible, they're all right. They have this idea in their heads that because they've been given the Word of God by him, they're okay. Now, I'll be honest with you, I remember when I was a teenager, I went along to my local church and I carried a Bible. You know, I'd been brought up to believe I was a Christian, purely and simply because my parents believed they were Christians. I've been through everything. I've been baptised in the Church of Scotland, as all infants are, or most infants. And between my parents and friends, I went to the Church of Scotland and the Roman Catholic Church. And I thought that I was a really good Christian. And I thought I was a good Christian also because my parents, or everybody, thought I was a good guy. Because I went to the shopping for my granny and the wee woman across the way from us. And I didn't run about with the gangs. Now, I come from a place in Glasgow called Southnets Hill, originally. Now, Southnets Hill ranks alongside places like Castlemilk and Easterhouse. And we had a lot of gangs, and everybody thought Colin was a good guy because he didn't run about with the gangs. But you know, when I was 15, going on 16, and I went back to church in a serious manner, I thought I was an even better Christian. But then I realised, just because I had a Bible, just because I went to church, that didn't make me right with God. And Jesus is saying exactly the same things to these people here. He's been arguing these self-same things with them. They think they've got it because they have the Word of God. But it's one thing having the Word of God here. It's another thing having the Word of God in your heart. You can come along to Sunday school, come along to church, and you can think you're doing okay because you come along. But God says that's not enough. And here, one of these religious people, one of these teachers, asks them a question. He asks them the question, what's the greatest command that God has ever given? Now, I don't know whether this guy was trying to trip Jesus up. I don't know if he was trying to make the Lord say something that he could trip him up on and catch him on. I suspect it's possible, because the religious leaders at that time were a bit like that with Jesus. They did what they could to trip him up. But Jesus says this, he says, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. What does that mean? Well, first of all, Jesus says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What does that mean? It means simply this. There's only one God. There's only one true, living, supreme God. In saying that, we make for ourselves other wee gods. Now, you might not think of them as gods, but they are. Ask yourself this question. What is the most important thing in your life? What's the thing you think about when you get up first thing in the morning? What's the thing that keeps in your head all day and is the most important thing? Now, you don't have to answer, mate, but I want you to think about it. Because do you know something? The Bible says that if God in heaven is not the most important person in your life, then anything else that's more important than him to you is your God. Now, I know people, and it's their work that's their God. I work in the ambulance service now. The folk have said, well, you've been in the police, you're now in the ambulance service, we're just waiting for you to join the fire brigade. But that won't happen, I promise you, it won't happen. But there are people I know in my job, I mean, I love my job. I reckon I've got the best job in the world. I have got a better job even than Mrs. James, and she's a doctor. Ha! Because how many people get the chance to go out and help people, right? And if they're bleeding, stop them bleeding. If they're in pain, take away the pain. If they've stopped breathing, can get them breathing again. And at the same time, can fly around the streets with blue lights going and sirens wailing. Now, I remember as a wee boy, watching the police cars and ambulances and fire engines, and thinking how great it was to be able to fly around the streets. And here I am. I'm doing it. It's great fun. It's a great job, and I love my job. But I'll tell you, if I had a choice between the job that I love and God saying, give it all up, Colin, for me, go here for me, I'd have to give my job up. I would have to. So Janice is looking at me. The reason she's looking at me because we recently, various things have happened in our lives, and God takes you seriously. If you say something I am prepared to do, can I tell you, God takes you seriously. Never ever ever say anything of that nature lightly. If you say to God, like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me, he will. He most definitely will. But if God said to me, Colin, give up your job, leave the ambulance service and do something else for me, I would have no choice but to do it. Why? Because God, the Almighty God, is my God. There is no one and nothing more important to me than him. And that is what Jesus is saying here. There is no other God except the Almighty. And he must take the main place in all of our lives. And then he says, and you shall love the Lord your God. Now, we have some strange ideas about love. Some folk think that love is some gooey thing that you feel. Bleh. Yeah? Well, that's common. That's love. But you know what God says love is? He's got a very special word for love. And that word, in English we've only got the word love. And I'm not going to bore you with all the Greek and all that. But let me say this to you. That when God says that you have to love God, or to love anyone else, it means you have to put them before yourself. That if you truly love someone, if there's something that you can do to help them, you must. Even if it means putting yourself out. We must love God in that way. He must be the first in our lives. And we must put him before ourselves. That's what love is. It's not just a gooey feeling that you get inside your tummy. It's something real that you do. And it says, the Lord said, you have to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. What does that mean, I wonder? Well, can any of the boys and girls tell me what that means? If you're to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength, what does that mean? What does that mean? Any idea? Can anybody tell me? Anybody in here tell me what that means? To love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. What does it mean? Anybody going to stick their hand up? Am I going to have to go to Mrs. James again? Or to Janice? Who's going to answer me? Nobody. Oh, I'm disappointed. It means that you have to love God with every part of your being. You have to put your whole life into loving Him. Every part of you. Now that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, folk think when you talk like that you must be a fanatic. Well, no. But let me put it this way. Supposing someone did something, really bailed you out of something. Say you were up to your eyeballs in debt, and someone who didn't have to help you came and bailed you out. Stop the bailiffs from coming to your door. Don't you think you would feel a great debt of gratitude to them and be willing to put yourself out for them if you had the opportunity? Well, let me tell you, the love God has for you is so much greater than any human being can have, that anything that we give back to Him is very, very, very small, but at the same time, it's demanded of us that we love Him and we give our all to Him. But then Jesus says, love your neighbour. It's not just God, but your neighbour. Who is your neighbour? Well, it's anybody. Anyone at all. You've got a responsibility to put them before yourself. Do we have any scouts or cubs or brownies here? We have. All right. You remember the Cub Scout law? I promise that I will do my best to do my duty to God and to the Queen. Yeah? What's the rest of it? Yeah? They've changed it down here because they still want us to still with the way they say it up, no? I promise. What is it? Can you remember? But there's a bit in it that says that you will help other people and keep the Cub Scout law. Is that right? You see, we should be helping other people. We should be putting others first before ourselves. But do you know what happens? We don't. How many times have we had a choice of doing something and did it for ourselves? I know I've done it. And then Jesus says that the second is like it, that you should love your neighbour as yourself. And then the religious man says, well said, teacher, you've spoken the truth, for there's no other God but the one, there's no other but Him. And to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding and all your soul and all your strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. You see, The Jews used to give sacrifices in order to get themselves right with God. They used to try and do things. I'll tell you, see when I was a boy, see when I was a teenager, before I became a Christian, and I thought I was a Christian, I used to do all sorts of things because I thought it was what would get me right with God. But the Bible teaches that even if you were to keep the Ten Commandments, that wouldn't get you right with God. Even if you were to start now and keep all the Ten Commandments for the whole of your life, it wouldn't get you right with God. Why? Well, there's a wee three-letter word that nobody likes to hear. Sin. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the middle letter is I, because that's what sin's all about. It's doing what pleases me. I want, I will do. I want, so I'm going to have. I think, and I don't care what you think. Sin. Sin is just doing things that are against the law of God. And that can be anything out of these ten. You know, with something. Can you remember the first time, or the first time that you can remember, look back and remember the first time you spoke back to your parents when you were a kid? Gave them back chat. Now, in my house, when I gave back chat, I usually ended up getting the back of a hand across my backside. In fact, I did it once when I was 17 to my granny. Now, my granny's 4'9". And I got a right uppercut to the chin. Why? Because I had done something wrong. Be faithful. You know, in this world, there aren't many people who are faithful. Or it seems that way. The number of marriages that break up because their partners aren't faithful to each other. Husbands and wives unfaithful. Still, I wonder how many of us have had an extra 10 minutes on our dinner break at work when we shouldn't have had. Or the odd 10, or maple. You know, we always think about gold heists and robbery and things like that. But we steal in so many different ways. But we sin. We do things wrong against God. And all the things that we can do can't save us. Can't get us right with God. There's only one that can. And that's the Lord Jesus. Jesus came to this earth. And he died on the cross. Not because he deserved it, because he didn't. But because he loved you and he loved me. He came and paid a sacrifice that you and I can't pay. Remember what I said? I said, to love someone is to put them before you. Well, Jesus put you before himself, to the extent that he was willing to be nailed to a cross and die on that cross, so that you and I don't have to stand before God fearful of eternal judgment, of being punished for eternity. And that is why Jesus came. And the first time you truly obey God will be the time when you say to God in your heart, I'm trusting your Son, and you turn your back on all that you know to be wrong in your life. And when you do that, you'll know the peace of God in your heart. I wonder, and you don't have to put your hands up, folks, I'm not going to ask you to do that, how many of us have got something we feel guilty about? Because if we've got something we really feel guilty about, it needs to be dealt with. And it needs to be dealt with by your turning to Christ and having our sins forgiven. And no amount of church going. I mean, I've got three boys. Janice and I are both Christians. I've got three sons who aren't here with us today, but they're not Christians. They're not Christians. They don't become Christians because I am, and Janice is. They become Christians because at some time in their life, I pray and I trust they will put their own trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and find forgiveness. The Bible's very clear. God has no grandchildren. He has only children. I wonder how many of us this morning can say that when they die, they know they're going to be with God in eternity. And that when Jesus returns, they'll be with him and have no need to fear standing before God. I want to ask not only the children, but the grown-ups as well, and the teenagers, where do you stand before God this morning? If God was to return now, I know you're all sitting, but if God was to return now, would you run and hide? Or would you say, Lord, I'm here and I'm waiting for you? And only Christ in your heart, can give you that certainty.